Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. And, everybody's been praying that I'd have clarity of thought. I hope I will. Yes, it's Sam's birthday today. He's 9. It's an exciting day as we remember. Time flies, and just thinking back to when he was born, and feels like yesterday that we were holding him, and now we're wrestling and skating and doing all that kind of fun stuff. So, yeah, it's an exciting day. This morning I want to spend some time at looking at Romans chapter 8. I titled the message, Life in Christ, Our Love for God and God's Love for Us. And when I got that text from Dad, he always asks me, what's your title and what's your verses? And usually I still don't know yet, and so I end up giving him something I think it's going to be, and then... So we're kind of along those lines today, and I've been really enjoyed looking at this passage and in Romans 8:28 that Nick read, and thinking about it and trying to appreciate the context that it was written in, and it's been a good thing to look at, challenging, because when you think of how God works in our lives and how he is gracious to us, and we can appreciate that every day as we walk with him. But what today I want to focus on is, I know we often use that verse in just to give us perspective, right? And to give us hope. Sometimes we look at that verse, all things work together for good to those who love God. And it does gives us hope, and it can help us to maintain perspective. But I want to look a little closer at that verse and look at the context and how we can apply it to our lives. What does Paul mean by all things? And what does he mean by those who love God? Today, I want to just mostly focus on what it means to love God, because I think that when we read that verse, there's a promise there, but the promise is to those who love God, right? What does it mean to love God? So, love in this day and age, what is love? What's our understanding of love? The world has an understanding of love, and I think it has confused our understanding of what love is. Love is something that is a throwaway. Sometimes it's just a warm and fuzzy feeling, an emotion. Comes and goes. But we know that that's not what love is. I'll just quote C.S. Lewis here. He says, Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. So we know that love is something that takes work. It takes an openness, a vulnerability, a recognition often of our own weaknesses. Loving ourselves is easy. Pretty good at that. But it's a lot easier... It's a lot easier to love ourselves than it is to love other people and to love God. So in Romans 8, In verse 28, he talks about those who love God. And I was just looking at the context here, and he's talking about suffering in chapter 8 and living by the Spirit. And in chapter 7, in the latter half of chapter 7, he's talking about this battle that's going on against sin, against the flesh. I think for our purpose today, I think we can just say that flesh would be our evil desires, our temptations that we face. So we struggle against these evil desires, and we're often consumed with these things that just serve ourselves, right? Let's read chapter 7, 14 to 25 quickly here. And it says there, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal," or unspiritual, "sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I want to do I will not. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Paul describes this battle that goes on in us. What does this battle have to do with love, we might ask? You might be asking. I think it's important for us to realize that God's law that he's talking about here is written on our hearts. Moses laid out special requirements for Israel in the Old Testament, and we'll turn to Deuteronomy in chapter 6, and we'll read a little bit there, but I think it's important for us to realize that God is just. God is judging the world. We can see that in the Old Testament. He waited generations to judge these nations. The Israelites were in Egypt, and he was waiting for these nations. He was giving them time, and they were living in sin. And so evidently, we know that people know what's right and wrong because they had never been given specific commandments from God, but yet God is judging them. So we recognize that there is a moral standard, whether it was given by Moses, but I think even back to Adam, Adam was given a moral standard by which to live. And we know that this battle has been going on all throughout time. So what does love have to do with this battle? Well, let's turn to Deuteronomy in chapter 6. We'll read in verse 5. Moses commands the Israelites, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." So how do we show our love to God? We obey him. So this battle is not just simply a battle against ourselves. This is a battle against evil. This is a battle against these sinful desires that we know that are prevalent in us. And it's defining our love for God, right? Do we love God? Jesus also, Matthew chapter 22, is asked what the greatest commandment is. Go there quickly. 22 verses 37 to 40. Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus makes clear this is what the law is about. This is the battle that Paul is talking about. To obey the law. So let's go into the beginning of chapter 8. Verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ Jesus in this verse is about our relationship with Jesus. Not about going to be with Jesus when we die, but about being with him here now. We don't have to fear condemnation as we walk in Christ. The condemnation he's talking about here is the consequences of our sins. The guilt that we live with when we are living in sin. Loving God is having a close relationship with Jesus. That is what God wanted of the Israelites, and that's what he wants of us. John 15, verses 4 and 5. You can turn there. Being in Christ. Sorry. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. This battle we can't win in our own strength. We need the Lord to guide us, to lead us. Back to Romans chapter 8. I like this section so much I ripped these pages out of my Bible here. I probably dropped my Bible a couple times through the years. Just happened to be this section here. Makes it interesting to flip back and forth. So Jesus tells us to abide with him and to remain in him. Does this mean we'll never sin? No. But when we confess our sin, as John says in chapter 1 John 1:9, when we confess, when we are walking with God according to the Spirit, we recognize our weakness and we confess it to him. We are focused on our relationship with the Lord. So, I know that when we think of our walk with the Lord, we know we fail day to day, right? It's not something that we've perfected. But I think as we walk with the Lord, we are more aware of our failings and recognize the grace that he gives us, and we depend on him for the strength that we need. He reveals to us those areas that we need to grow in. Let's go to Philippians in chapter 1. Verse 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And we'll go back to Romans in chapter 8 again. Look a little closer at this passage. verse 4 and 5. So the battle against our flesh, or I know we've, Dad and I have talked about this a few times, about this idea of the flesh and how in those times there, the Greeks dichotomized the soul and the body, and they basically looked at the body as being the body as being sinful. And so Paul, writing to it during this time, would have had that thought process, and was trying to relate it to his readers. And but we can think of it as just the flesh as being the world. Or as Paul said earlier in chapter 7, I am carnal, I am unspiritual. God is spirit, right? So this is a worldly thought, unspiritual thinking versus living by the Spirit, right? The law of God. The law of sin and death, the law of God. Those who are in Christ, walk by the Spirit. So we need to live as though the flesh is dead because of sin. In other words, the things that the body want, we view as unimportant now, because we know if we follow those down a path, they lead to death. Not to say that everything that we do, we need to eat. We can enjoy things in life, and those aren't bad things. But if we are focused on just those things, we know that it will lead to death, right? We need to focus on what God wants us to. So what does life by the Spirit look like? Life by the Spirit is revealed to us in Galatians in chapter 5. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5 briefly. Let's begin at verse 16. I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I get the picture of a magnet, and how there's sometimes you have a magnet in there, you put the two positive poles together, and they push against each other, right? It's like they are opposed to each other. And that's how, when we're looking through the lens of God's word and through the Spirit, we are seeing things the way God wants us to see them, and it is actually opposed to the desires of the flesh. And just so much lower, right? Like, I think when we are looking through a lens of with an eternal perspective, the things that the world has to offer, they just go dim, right? So it says here, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And so, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We'll get to that again, this idea of inheriting the kingdom of God. Paul is, you know, he's expressed this idea back in Romans. We see it there too. We're heirs of God's kingdom in Romans chapter 8, in verses 16-17. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice love is mentioned first. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. This is life by the Spirit. These are eternal qualities. These are eternal qualities that will have eternal value. Build your life in these areas. These are developed as we walk by the Spirit. These aren't infused into you when you become a believer. There's no mystical thing that happens that you just got to, someday at Christmas, every Christmas you open up one of these boxes and, oh, this year I got joy. No, that's not how it works. As we daily depend on the Lord, we develop in these areas. As we submit ourselves to Christ because we love Him. This is a daily taking up the cross. Luke chapter 9, 23. When we think of this battle against the flesh, we should think of it as Paul states in Romans in 7, verse 14. He says, we think of it as the unspiritual versus the spiritual, or the material versus the eternal. The perspective that we need to have. Garbage, gold. We need to look at it that way. Luke in chapter 9, let's go there for a second. We'll look at what Jesus commanded us to do. Start reading at verse 9 and verse 23. Chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? What would make you want to follow somebody like that? I imagine you love that person, right? Would that be an example, a definition of love? To go after him, to follow him. Matthew, and Jesus also says in Matthew in chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, lay up your treasures in heaven. So in chapter 8 in Romans, going down to verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So this internal perspective that we have. And then this is what he's talking about. All things working together in verse 28. God's purposes are eternal purposes. We don't always understand them, often because we aren't focused on things that we need to be focused on. I always often think, you know, I'm not very good at focusing. But actually, I'm just not good at focusing on the right things. I'm good at focusing on myself. I know that. I always tend to focus on the things that I want to do. But we need to be focused on the goal, the prize, eternal purposes. This verse is written for us to maintain that perspective as we walk and as we face the sufferings that we face. And In verse 26 of chapter 8 there, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows that what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We can appreciate that God is with us. He loves us. He's gracious to us. He knows where we're at. We need to just come to him. Look to him for strength. And then the passage that Nick read at the end of chapter 8, verse 37, it says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And this is also as we walk with the Lord. I think sometimes we read this and we don't think about it. We think, oh, you know what? God's always got my back. No matter what I do, no matter where I go. But you know what? If you decide to live a life that's willfully against God, you're going to face the consequences that you're going to experience. But if you walk by the Spirit and you keep the Lord at the center of your life, then we know that we are conquerors. Not to say that our salvation is in jeopardy, but I think in this life we know that as we walk with the Lord, He will guide us, and we'll always know His love, as we'll know that He loves us, and we won't be separated from His love as we walk with Him, right? So I'd like to leave you with that. As I studied this passage, I was challenged and recognized that learning to love, and in general, loving God and loving people around us is a big task. It's not easy, but we need to depend on the Lord for our strength and recognize that He loves us and He wants us to be conquerors, and He wants us to trust in Him, depend on Him. And we can know that as we do that, we are building eternal value, the glory that will be revealed as we put our trust in Him. Let's pray. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we could look at your word. Thank you for how it's so true and so simple in how you want us to walk with you. Lord, we thank you that you paid the penalty for our sin. You've dealt with that. And that all we need to do is believe in you, Lord. And Lord, that in beginning that relationship with you, we know that we can trust you and that we can depend on you for our strength as we turn to you and we confess. Lord, as we spend time in your word and grow, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to be the people that you want us to be your children, to walk close to you. Lord, I just pray that you would encourage those who need encouragement today, Lord. Those that need challenging, that you would challenge them, Lord. That you would help us to not be complacent. Help us to live every day in light of eternity. Lord, just thank you for each one who's part of this body here. Lord, I just pray that you would bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.